Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this edition of the podcast, we talk about the very first game of football that was played west of the Allegheny Mountains and some great birthdays, including the Kansas Comet. And it's all coming up and more in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the dunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines and birthdays of Hall of Famers.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of pigskindispatch.com, and welcome once again to the Pigpen. And we have our May 30th. Can you believe May 30th already? Where has this month gone to? You know, we just started spring, and we're already almost through the month of May. One more day, and that's Memorial Day. And speaking of that, Memorial Day, Monday the 31st, we have our regular football history headlines, and there's some D&Ds in there. You want to listen to that, just like you're listening today, because we bring to you football history each and every day of the year, one day at a time. But we also have a special edition of a memorial of our servicemen and women that have passed away in service to our country. We are going to honor the football players by paying tribute to the football players of the college and pro ranks that passed away during their service. We're trying to catch as many as we can. We know we will not get anywhere near all of them, but some of the bigger names in pro football and some of the college players that passed away during our wartime periods and any other time that they may have passed, but in particular the wars. And we'll try to pay tribute to them. And we have a lot of football by numbers this week. And we have some specials coming up on some other alternative leagues that we'll talk about maybe the end of this week, maybe even going into next week. But let's concentrate on our May 30th football history headlines. And we're going to start off with our newspapers.com football history headline of the day. And it comes from the May 31st, 1879 edition of the Chicago Tribune in their Sundry Sports column, and has the headline of football. And that's foot-ball, the way they spelled it back then. It is reporting about the May 30th, 1879 instance where the first game ever to be played west of the Alleghenies took place on May 30th in Chicago, Illinois. The article starts by saying, at the White Stockings ground yesterday afternoon, an interesting game of football was played between Racine College and the Michigan University teams. The attendance was good and enthusiastically cheered the contestants wherever the opportunity occurred. The report goes on to say that the game lasted nearly 2 hours and was played by what was described as a modified rule of rugby. We can see that the influence of that 1874 Harvard versus McGill games that we talked back on May 14th and May 15th was spreading across the country just a few short years later, 5 years almost to the day. This is about the year away from when Walter Camp suggested major revisions to the game that would make it a much more recognizable form of American football that we know today. As for the game, the University of Michigan defeated Racine College 1-0. The report in 1879 tells us that no bones were broken, but C. Tolbert was stretched out on the turf once. A bucket of water, however, revived him. That's just some those 19th century treatments, I guess, on the football field, just to throw a bucket of water on them. A fun fact about Racine's football team was that in 1903, the program ended for what would be look like today as the oddest of circumstances. A November 6, 1903 article in the Champaign, Illinois Daily Gazette posts a headline of "Bounced for Eating Fudges. Football team of Racine gets its walking papers." Yes, the entire football team was discharged after allegedly because the players were caught eating fudge, which in the eyes of the school administration and the head coach was thought to make them poor students and athletes. thank God that same criteria isn't used for your friendly blog writer and podcaster, because I would have been out a long time ago for eating the chocolate delights, you know? But let's pay some tribute to our Hall of Famers that celebrate birthdays on this May 30th, and we've got some really good ones today. We're going to start off May 30th, 1891, Lock Haven, Pennsylvania. Bob Peck, the University of Pittsburgh center from 1913 all the way to 1916, arrived to claim his date of birth. Peck, according to the NFF, was a leader for the Panthers during one of their finest eras. He would motivate the rest of the men before and during games when he thought their fire was going out. The 5'9" snapper would raise his voice above all others and cry out, "When Peck fights, the team fights!" And there was a renewed vigor in their play, for the Panthers would find new spirit within their hearts and new strength in their weary bodies. It's not long before the Pitt cheering section took up the call to arms as well, and they'd say, "When Peck fights, the team fights," and it became the battle cry for that season. In just his first varsity season, the Panthers lost only one game in 9. Then Glenn Pop Warner took over as the head coach, and Pitt immediately ran off 2 unbeaten and untied seasons, going 8-0 in 1915 and 8-0 once again in 1916, the winning the national championship in the last of those 2 campaigns. Peck was a Panther captain that year, and he repeated as the All-American selection, the first Pitt player to receive such national recognition. Bob Peck was honored with induction in the College Football Hall of Fame in 1954 after the National Football Foundation tabulated up their votes. May 30th, 1915, Conneaut, Ohio, Yale's great end from 1934 through the 1936 season, Larry Kelly was born. Kelly was described by more than one reference as a crafty and very innovative player. The footballfoundation.org even gives an example from journalist Allison Danzig of the New York Times, who called Larry a genius who gets the touchdown regardless of the odds. One of the examples that Danzig could be referring to is in a 1934 contest against Princeton, where Kelly caught a pass, ran 30 yards downfield, and was trapped by 2 defenders at the goal line. He decided he rammed right between them and scored for a 7-0 Yale victory. Lightning struck twice, as in the 1936 Yale versus Princeton matchup, the Elis were down by a score of 16-0, but they rallied to win 26-23. Kelly gave a straight arm to a defender and subsequently bull rushed his way for a critical touchdown in the game to get that victory for Yale. In total, he played against Yale's rivals Harvard and Princeton 6 times, and he scored a touchdown in each one of those contests, and Yale lost only once. Kelly indeed made a difference. He was that good. Good enough that in 1936, he won the Heisman Trophy, the second year of the award, and the first time it was actually called the Heisman. The National Football Foundation selected Larry Kelly for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1969. May 30th, 1943, Wichita, Kansas. Gale Sayers, the top-notch Kansas halfback, also known as the Kansas Comet, was born. Gale is one of the most talented backs to have ever graced the gridiron. The footballfoundation.org lists that Mr. Sayers was a 2-time first-team All-American selection for the Jayhawks, and when he concluded his KU career, he had 2,675 yards rushing and 3,917 in all-purpose yards. The Kansas Comet led KU in rushing, touchdowns, and kickoff returns all 3 years he wore the Jayhawk colors. Gale also led the team in receiving and punt returns in his final 2 years with the program. Sayers became the first player in NCAA Division I-A history to record a 99-yard run when he broke loose against Nebraska in Lincoln during the 1963 season. One of Sayers' top collegiate moments on the gridiron had to be his 96-yard kickoff return that aided a 15-14 upset of Oklahoma in his senior season. The University of Kansas retired his number 48 jersey as soon as he wore it last, and Gale Sayers' collegiate football records are celebrated in the College Football Hall of Fame after his induction in 1977. The Chicago Bears drafted Sayers in the first round of the 1965 NFL draft, and he had an almost an immediate impact on the entire league. The Pro Football Hall of Fame website says right out of the chute, Gale in a preseason game raced 77 yards on a punt return, 93 yards on a kickoff return, and then startled everyone with a 25-yard scoring pass against the Los Angeles Rams. During the regular season games, he kept on going, as he is a standout player, set a rookie record that season with 22 touchdowns and 132 points scored. The Comets scored 4 touchdowns, including a 96-yard game-breaking kickoff return against the Minnesota Vikings. But that was not the rookie's grand finale that year. No, not even close. As the second to last game of the year, playing on a muddy field that would have stalled most rushing attempts, Gale scored a record-tying 6 touchdowns against the San Francisco 49ers, including his sensational spree where an 80-yard pass and run play, a 50-yard rush, and a 65-yard punt return. Sayers went on to have a short but brilliant career with 9,435 combined yards in his career and 4,956 of those yards on the ground. Gale is still the all-time leader in NFL kick returns, as he was also an all-NFL selection in 5 straight seasons and the player of the game in 3 different Pro Bowls. The Pro Football Hall of Fame honored Gale Sayers with enshrinement in 1977 to become one of the very few that entered both the football halls at the same year. So that's the College Football Hall of Fame and the Pro Football Hall of Fame, both in 1977, and we were happy that he was there to enjoy both of those. Unfortunately, Mr. Sayers passed in 2020 after a long illness. May 30th, 1949, Salem, New Jersey. Lydell Mitchell, the 3-time Pro Bowl NFL running back that played for the Colts, Chargers, and Rams, was born. The Baltimore Colts drafted Mitchell in the 48th pick of the 1972 NFL draft, and Mitchell played his college career at Penn State under Joe Paterno, along with his backfield mate, Franco Harris. Quite a 1-2 punch for the Nittany Lions in the season of 1971. Lydell Mitchell entered the College Football Hall of Fame in 2004, and Lydell was a threat to run and receive passes as a pro when he teamed up with the Colts quarterback Burt Jones, and the pair helped the team win 3 consecutive AFC East titles in 1975, 76, and 77, stealing the crown from their division rival, the Miami Dolphins. Yes, those Dolphins that only a year or two earlier had an undefeated season and some great teams in Miami, and that AFC East was just brutal to play on when you had both the Colts and the Dolphins playing at a high level, you know, and New England and the Jets had their hands full in that league. But Lydell Mitchell, what a great running back, and a great pairing with Franco Harris in college. You know, you couldn't go wrong with a backfield like that. Just outstanding. And they're both made it in the pros and had successful seasons, as each of them at least made it into one of the Hall of Fames, the college or the pro. So, you know, very good backfield for the Nittany Lions. We are certainly glad that you were able to join us once again for these football history headlines, birthdays of Hall of Famers, to get that football knowledge and history into your brain during this offseason. And we do it each and every day. We're sure glad you joined us. We couldn't do it without you. Please make sure that you follow us on your favorite podcast provider. Or you can go to sportshistorynetwork.com. Check us out there, along with 20 other podcasts that have some very brilliant and well-spoken podcasters that have some very interesting themes and topics for you on all of sports history, not just football, but all sports all around the world from many different eras even. And so it's exciting things because it is the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear. It's getting bigger and bigger and better every single day. So make sure you check out sportshistorynetwork.com. And also, you can check out our podcast on pigskindispatch.com. And we have many blog posts and, you know, about almost a dozen 10 to 12 different podcasts every single week, just trying to fill your football brain with knowledge, and you know, hopefully it'll help you to just have some things to talk around a water cooler or with your buddies, you know, out on a golf course or whatever. Just share some football knowledge with somebody, and we're glad that you share with us today your time. So till tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network. your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.